with the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Miss Martinez.
Yes, Chair, we can carry on. Thank you.
Can you flight the agenda?
Getting that, Chair, please receive my sincere apologies. My computer is giving me issues.
Oh, okay. Honorable members, Minister and the Deputy Minister, Acting DG and your team, our support staff, the support team we have from Parliament for the committee, members of the media that are with us today, and everyone who is on this platform, good morning. We are having this meeting today as part of getting an update about the IDT, in which, as the committee, in several meetings that we have held, we have been clear that we don't support the dissolution of IDT as the committee. We have been clear on several occasions that we have to have discussion with the minister and the department on this issue. When we're dealing with the annual reports, we had a challenge with the issue of IDT. We didn't get any information at the time, but today we are dealing with IDT again, hoping that we'll get a clear information and the direction that the department is pursuing about IDT. But also, we have since received correspondence, which I believe that the minister also has received correspondence about the trustees of IDT.
Yes.
That felt that whatever that was being done was illegal because they have not been contacted, whatever what was being done. I think after that, the minister managed to meet with the four trustees. We'll also get the information about what is happening now, that there are trustees that have emerged, that have been trustees all along of IDT and all these things. Remember, one of the issues that we raised as the committee is that whatever that is being done, we must always be not found wanting in terms of the law. We must be above all the legal aspects when dealing with the issue of IDT. With those few words, honorable members, Minister, DM, and your team, you are all welcome in this meeting. Ms. Martinez, are there any apologies that we have for honorable members that are not part of us today?
Thanks, Chairperson. There are no new apologies apart from the one from Honorable Kopane, who stated that she was hospitalized. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. And again, we are saying to our colleague, Honorable Kopane, please get well soon, speedy recovery to our dear Honorable Member, Honorable Kopane. I will then hand over to Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, GM and acting DG and all the officials that are online. Chairperson, yes, I do think that we are making progress with IDT. A lot of things has just happened in the past 2 weeks or so. And one of the key things that Chairperson referred to was that when we wrote to the Master of the High Court in Gauteng to get the official status of trustees within IDT, the master revealed that there were 4 trustees that were still registered with the Master of the High Court. Now, immediately when we discovered that chairperson, I wrote to the 4 trustees asking them if they will accept to come back. All 4 of them have agreed to come back. We have shared some information with them. The trustees met themselves last week, Friday. Also, today's presentation to the committee, we've also shared with the trustees. Chairperson, we had a meeting with the trustees Monday night at about 6 o'clock. And what happened was that 2 other trustees joined the meeting that claimed that they were also still trustees. In response to that, I wrote to the master yesterday, and a copy of the letter is available if the chair would like to see it, to just ask the master of the High Court to confirm whether the 2 trustees that joined the meeting on Monday, whether they are still trustees. So it's all work in progress. Now, Chairperson, I've said several times before that to get to a decision to dissolve IDT, we need to follow due process. In terms of the trust deed, and of course, the options that the IDT trustees then in February, the 17th of February, they had put these 2 options to us. One of the options was to dissolve, and that is the option that we have pursued, considering all the annual reports, the financial reports, and the status of the IDT. But to arrive at a decision to dissolve, it can't be taken by a minister in terms of the trust deed. It must go to cabinet. Cabinet will make a decision in terms of the trust deed. And therefore, a parallel process was followed to prepare a cab a memo to that effect. And that process is not concluded yet, a chairperson. It's all still work in progress. We have also written, chairperson, to the state attorney to assist us with a senior counsel that can further guide the process around IDT. To give us legal advice, how to, considering the current conditions, what to do. The state attorney has agreed, and the state attorney will give us the legal advice. They promised it by this Friday. Exactly, chairperson, because we want to work within the legal framework. We want to work within what is prescribed in the trust deed, and you know, we must be very careful that we don't go outside of what is in the trust deed. So the state attorney has promised us by this Friday, chairperson, and once we get the legal opinion and the legal guidance from the state attorney, we can also share that opinion with the committee, so that the committee can ensure that we that we also stay within the legal framework. But I have welcomed the four trustees back. We have shared some information with them. We have agreed Monday night, Chairperson, that once we get feedback from the Master of the High Court, that we will then convene another meeting. So that is where we are now, Chairperson. I will give over to the acting DG to do the presentation to the committee. I also want to thank all the people, the task team that included IDT, the acting CEO, Mr. Lombard, a National Treasury. A lot of people and a lot of structures have assisted us to mitigate and to steer the boat in the right direction. And I want to thank all of them, also the Deputy Minister that has spent many, many hours with IDT and with the staff and our own staff inside. I want to assure the committee, Honourable Committee, that we are trying to do everything and use everything at our disposal to make sure that whatever processes we are, legal processes that we are busy with, that we mitigate the impact on service delivery. Because there are many projects out there that is for the good of our people, and we must make sure that while we steer the ship, that we also ensure at the same time that service delivery continues. And that is the approach that we have adopted, Chairperson. And of course, we will be happy to share the latest information with the committee. Thank you, Chairperson, for an opportunity to share with you some of the progress that we are making. And with your permission, I will ask the acting DG to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister, and good morning to the Chairperson, the Deputy Minister, and members of the committee. Chairperson, I'm going to ask the Secretary to please pin the presentation for me. I don't have a facility to do that. I'm traveling. So if you could please pin the presentation. I'll comment in the meantime, Chairperson, with your permission. Nola, if you could please assist me there. Chairperson, I'm on slide number 3. By way of background, I want to mention
I'm told to land will slide the presentation.
Let me just
get transferred out. I will slide the presentation.
Thank you very much.
I'm waiting for you to neglect the co-host, Nola.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. While they dealing with the hosting issues, I'll comment that on slide 3, Chairperson and members of the committee, by way of background, from the onset of the Sixth Administration last year, during the middle of the year, from June and July, the ministry considered the performance and the relevance of all our entities, being the IDT, the CIDB, the CBE, as well as AgriMine, the 6 Belt Environment Professional Councils, to look at the institutional and governance issues and to determine whether or not there were duplication and overlap between the mandates of the respective entities and to establish a different way of seeing our entities in terms of the contribution they make to our mandate and whether or not they were properly structured. We also considered the viability of the IDT in the context of this particular study, including its historical and financial and non-financial performance as the IDT. And based on the annual and audit reports, we found the going concern risk, the declining portfolio, as well as a loss of major clients due to a loss of confidence at the time, as well as an unsustainable financial model where the IDT charges some of the lowest management fees in their particular sector that leads to an inability to recover all its overheads. There was also corporate governance collapses, a perpetual reliance on support from the department and the National Treasury, as well as a number of investigations which had taken place pointing to incidents of fraud and corruption, which all conspire to lead to a sustainability crisis in the IDT. Chairperson, moving on to slide number four, the slide depicts the billing trend of the IDT over the last 5 years. And what one can see in clear terms is the decline in the billing of the IDT. From the 2017 period, a huge decline from 4.8 billion in program expenditure and 220 million in management fees to 6 months to date numbers for the current year of 1 billion rand, and management fees of under 60 million rand. And the current trend is that the IDT will unlikely breach the 100 million mark. So that is the state of the decline in the portfolio. And moving on to slide number five, and when one looks at the program expenditure per year over the last 3 years, the program expenditure depicts that the Eastern Cape, the KwaZulu-Natal province, and Limpopo are the biggest supporters of the IDT services among the nine provinces. And the IDT revenue is based on program expenditure, and this expenditure is declined. What happens is the program expenditure shows the amount spent by the client, and the IDT charges a percentage of 4 to 5% as a management fee to implement the project under consideration. And this declining expenditure then results in a reduced management fee for the IDT. At the same time, the IDT's operational costs have remained relatively static over the period of time, resulting in an inability to cover their overheads. The IDT operational model and cost structure then requires a review given the current state and circumstances and decline in the portfolio and management fees. Just by way of information, the management fee is only collected for projects in stage 5 and 6, which means it must be under construction. So the IDT receives the project and it conducts design as well as procurement. And those phases don't see a recovery of any fees. So that's one of the design flaws in the IDT business model that will also have to be corrected going forward. No project pipeline, as I mentioned, from stages 1 to 4, and there's no management fee as a result. So the IDT relies on management fee being collected from stage 5 onwards. Moving on to slide number 6. Slide number 6 is showing the income and expenditure of the IDT for the year under review. And what one can see is that the management fee on the top is in decline. And in fact, for the year under review, the total actual is 50.1 million. And the management, the grant from the government in the second row is 72.2 million rand. So this is the biggest portion of IDT's revenue. At the bottom, it shows a surplus of 17 million rand for the year. But that's only because the government has put money in here and the overheads and expenses for October has not been in. If one removes the government contribution of 72 million rand, you'll receive a very different picture. And what is clear is that the IDT is unable to meet its monthly expenses. And in fact, from a cash collection point of view, the IDT has also managed to sustain certain parts of its business by collecting cash from old outstanding debtors. So clearly this page shows the current year and the fact that the IDT is unable to meet its expenses without a government grant. Moving on to slide number 7, Chairperson and members of the committee, is the staff configuration of the IDT. The table reflects the core versus the support staff. And there's a more or less a 50-50 proportion of core to support staff. And we are advised that the ideal would be 70-30 at the very least, and at best an 80-20 in favor of core staff. So the IDT's proportion of core to support staff is somehow distorted and also results in inefficiencies in the business. Moving on to slide number 8, the going concern risk. The IDT has been faced with the going concern risk for at least 8 years since its endowment has exhausted in 2012-13. The endowment was a 2 billion grant from the fiscus at the time to support the poor and marginalized communities, among other goals and objectives in terms of the trust deed. And the department has been providing financial assistance, and this has amounted to 545 million between 2012 to 2019-20. And for the current year, 72 million has been transferred and another 56 million has been committed in this regard, bringing a total of 128 million. So what we're talking about, just under 700 million rand contribution since 2012, and that's something like 8 years. The department's also applied to the National Treasury in this regard to provide the support, and we were required to reclassify our baseline to support the IDT, and the National Treasury was able to find space to approve this particular reclassification. However, subject to certain conditions, that the Accounting Officer of Public Works is to make sure the requirements of Section 38 of the PFMA are met before transferring any funds, that the Accounting Officer must also make sure that the IDT has an accounting authority, and that the DPW must submit to National Treasury a fully costed plan for the de-establishment of the IDT, and DPW should declare these costs under financial implications when submitting a memorandum to Cabinet. So as far as Treasury were concerned, it appeared as though the IDT was not a sustainable business. One needs to consider that all of this 650 to 700 million involved Treasury in the past, and they've seen a continued trend of us having to provide financial support to the IDT, and this particular request of the de-establishment cost was made in that particular context. Moving to slide number 9, the Ministry of Public Works has been engaging the interim board since July, and given these financial difficulties in the sixth administration, the board at the time was asked to provide various options.
Acting DG, apologies for coming in while we are still presenting. The minister, as she has indicated, that she's going to leave. The members ask questions while the minister is here. And as such, I am only giving you now 8 minutes, so at least by 8:30, you are through, so that the members are able to ask the questions, so that the minister will respond while she's still here. If you can please try to round up. At least this time we did get them. We must also appreciate that we got the information within the specified time, so we were able to read through the information. So if you can try to round up and be true by 8:30. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On slide number 9, as I mentioned, Chairperson, members of the committee, the minister considered various options with respect to the future sustainability of the IDT based on what was presented to her. And the option that was pursued was the one of disengaging from the IDT and withdrawing future financial support against the background of the review of the financial, or at least of the review of state-owned enterprises conducted in broader government, as well as the litigation being faced by the IDT and the fact that its endowment had run out and the trend of a loss-making entity had already sustained itself by then. On slide 10, in terms of considering the exit strategy, a task team was appointed to look at all the options, especially the costs and the dynamics associated with the dissolution. And the exit strategy task team was established for this purpose. As the minister mentioned, that any option needs to be informed by the relevant information. And this task team was tasked with providing the information so that the proper decisions could be taken. Moving on to slide number 11, Chairperson. This is what it looks like. The number of active projects is 2,647 with a value of 4.6 billion. And in terms of the original portfolio, was 3.8 billion. Looking at the MTEF has got 3,549 projects valued at 6.8 billion. So the IDT has obviously got a number of projects in both value and number on its system that it will need to close out going forward. Moving on to slide number 12. This is a provincial spread again in terms of the projects in the current financial year, active and non-active. And one can see again the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal are the big players here in terms of supporting the IDT. Moving on to slide number 13, the IDT has two types of service level agreements. The one is the bilateral agreement with the client departments, and the other is a slight variation where DPW is involved and you have a tripartite agreement. And the fees that the IDT charges are budgeted for on client department budgets. On slide number 14, the work of the task team was specified into three areas in order to look at possible options, including a dissolution of the IDT. their work streams were in three areas. The one was the area where projects were still in the planning phase, design and procurement, where it was easier for the IDT to exit and hand it over to another implementing agent, and then work streams two and three, where the IDT was more compelled to see it through. Moving on to slide number 15, provides the details in this particular regard and recommended that with respect to work stream number one, could easily be handed over, but work streams number two and three, that the IDT need to see through all of these projects, including legacy projects from a number of years ago, which were not yet closed out. On slide number 16, Chairperson, as the Minister mentioned before, engagements with the Master of the Court, where the record of the trustees or the board is maintained, and the information gleaned enabled the Minister to regularize the board and to readmit certain members who are not properly removed based on the records of the Master. And an additional process is now underway to identify any possible other trustees who may be creditable to the board. A legal opinion is also being sought to guide the department as well as the minister about the approach to take in dealing with an entity in distress. Whatever that approach may be, it will be guided by legal advice. On slide number 17, as mentioned, no decision is taken for an agency to take over the social infrastructure of the IDT. This is still work in progress and all the options are on the table. The plan has always been that the mandate reverts back to the sector. If there's IDT has difficulty, the public works sector is the first port of call to assist in this regard. And the full extent of any dissolution or continuation, if IDT is going to receive support, will only become apparent in due course after the decisions have been taken. Moving on to slide number 18, Chairperson, is to recommend that the committee notes our presentation regarding our engagements with the IDT. Thank you so much.
Acting DG, I then invite members Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Tring, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Van Skalvik, Honorable Van Staden, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Mashele, in that order. Since the minister will be leaving us as a 10, please, honorable members, focus to the point that you want to raise, especially where you would want the minister to respond, so that we manage the time. Honorable Siwisa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. Minister, I don't know how to put this. When you started your presentation, you said you did not know there were trustees involved. And then on February, you had a meeting with trustees. And then there's a correspondence that says that the other day you had a meeting with trustees. So my question would be, which trustees were you having a meeting with? If trustees are saying that they were never consulted about what's going to happen to IDT, that's the first question that I have. The second one would be, you always talk about work in progress, but there are never deadlines. And it seems as if now, what we are hearing today, it seems as if now, I don't know if it's the pressure from the trustees or the pressure from the committee, because we've been fighting for IDT for so long. If you say it's work in progress, what are the deadlines that you are putting before us to say by this date we have done this, by this date we have done this? Because the other day we spoke, we had a presentation from Infrastructure SA, which is going to take over the industrial and the societal infrastructure in South Africa. And now again, I get the feeling that you are hearing another tune about IDT today. So you need to provide leadership, Minister. That's one of the things that I want to say. We can't be sitting here every time. And 1 minute we hear this, the next minute we are hearing that. And the next thing, Public Works is going to be taken to court by trustees because they were never consulted about anything that's happening to IDT, which is some of the things that you've been raising. So I want to know, in February, who did you sit the meeting with to make decisions of options pertaining what's going to happen to IDT? Why didn't you make a follow-up about how many trustees are there, where are the trustees? What is their role in IDT? Why were they not actually consulted for them to come and write a letter at a later stage to say that they are not satisfied about how things are done, even though they are in, they are there present as trustees? Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Minister. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the presentation. Minister, I'd like to just ask, IDT is controlled by a trust. Invariably, a trust document gives guidance as to the dissolution of a trust as well as, you know, the way the trust operates. Was there nothing in the trust document that stipulated to the fact that ordinarily trustees are the only people who can make the decision to dissolve a trust? And if that is the case, then what would be a quorate number of trustees to take that decision? So what is the number of trustees that are required to be part of that trust, and how many are required to take a decision to dissolve the trust? One of the issues we have with the dissolution of the trust, and I'd like clarity as well on this, is whether or not decision-making has been hampered by a lack of trustees. With there being no board, has there been authority granted by any other body with respect to things like signing of variation orders, taking decisions with regard to staff, any other decisions on the management and running of the IDT that would have required the input of the board? And if that was a requirement, who has done that in the interim to fill that gap? And would that have been lawful? So in essence, what I'm saying is that by dissolving or getting rid of the trustees at the beginning, have we not hamstrung the IDT even further in terms of it actually winding up, finalizing projects, et cetera? Minister, I'd like to also know whether or not you've met with the staff of IDT to give them any guidance as to where the processes are, whether there's regular engagement with the staff themselves. It must be quite terrifying for people in the IDT as to what's happening in the future, where they're going to be, and where we are in terms of the program. And with respect to the exit committee or the committee that's taken the decisions around the dissolution, is any of that information being shared either with the staff, with the DPWI, and certainly with us? I think it would be important that we have some idea of the progress being made. I just wanted to ask, when did Kucha and the Development Bank of South Africa come into the same market as the IDT, and could that not have had an impact on the year-on-year performance of the IDT, because suddenly there were two additional role players in the same social infrastructure market as them, and could that not have had an impact? And also the fact that DPWI wasn't adamant that IDT be used as a social infrastructure implementing agent with its client departments. And then also with respect to the big decline, did we look at whether or not that was entirely IDT's fault, or were there external factors that have contributed to that? When we had our last meeting around the IDT, we were told that there were going to be four tranches of money paid over to the IDT to the value of 84 million. It was during the lockdown period. Does that include the 72 million, or is it something else? It was the 21 million per month for 4 months. What has happened with that money? Then also, I'm concerned that we are using this year's financial performance as a reason to support the closure of IDT. When you're looking at the projects and the project management fees that come in to the IDT, they're based on the completion aspect of the project, and there was a complete shutdown in terms of construction, so no projects could have proceeded during lockdown. So how are we then drawing a comparison on management fees being collected when they were absolutely constrained from doing any project management? And then finally, also with the shutdown, things like there's been no renewal of the project management software on behalf of the IDT. I know people have raised the issue that, you know, they're managing their project on Excel. My understanding is that without the board and without any financial guidance, they were prohibited and precluded from renewing their software management, their project management software. And that would have also had an impact on their ability to manage projects. So I'd just like clarity on that as well, please. Thank you very much.
Honorable Tree.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just three questions for myself. The first is that the IDT certainly is an entity of public works and infrastructure. But how is it possible that we do not know how many trustees we have? The minister said that when she applied to wrote to the master's court, there was four. She was told four, and then another two pitched up at the meeting. So that takes it up to six. Surely there should be some kind of paper trail where there's been either a change of trustees or certain trustees have resigned. So my simple question is, how is it that we ourselves as a department do not actually know how many trustees we actually have? And it seems as if there are some that are kind of wanting just to keep their nose in the trough, so to speak. The second question is, should the IDT be dissolved? What is the plan then to manage the staff? I think that Honourable Samantha also asked something similar with regards to the staff. And then finally, my third question is, does the minister believe, in terms of the model by which the IDT had to operate, that the IDT was actually set up to fail? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will take up straight away. Good morning, everybody. Minister, I would just like to make an observation. You started your discussion by saying that the dissolution of the IDT must go to Parliament. I would like to remind you that we found out about the dissolution of the IDT in the media, not even as the committee, but in the media. You say you follow due process. Due process has definitely not been followed. You spoke about a lack of confidence in the IDT. I've been largely covered by my colleague Samantha, but are there external reasons for this lack of confidence? And the projects are now going to be taken over by this wonderful new entity called Infrastructure South Africa. What is the difference between the IDT and Infrastructure South Africa that's suddenly going to have the confidence that everybody is so expecting, and will it flood back that we will be able to run an entity that is supposed to be the infrastructure arm of the Department of Public Works? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone, and thank you for the presentation. And I would like to thank also the department for availing the presentation well in advance. I'm going to not repeat what the previous speaker said, but I wanted to know, Minister, there's a lot of outstanding revenue that's owed to the IDT. Do you have plans in place or measures whereby you would recuperate this outstanding money? And with regards to the service level agreements between the IDT and the various entities, what are you going to do? What's going to happen to those service level agreements? Because we know that ordinary people are depending on those contracts, and now it's just going to be income that's going to be lost. Then in terms of the possible costs or litigations, there's an indication of approximately 80 litigations. Were those litigations costed, and what is the amount that we are talking about, and how are you planning to move forward in terms of addressing those litigations? Then when we look at the fixed terms, there's about 119 or 103 out of the 119 fixed term contracts that you are indicating that it will be terminated at the end of October 2020. So I wanted to know, seeing that we have a lot of a big problem of unemployment in our country, is there no possibility of some of these people to be incorporated or absorbed into the department in terms of alternative opportunities? Then, Chairperson, my last one will be in terms of the current state of affairs. I am of the view that there might be some irregularities and malpractice over the quite some time. So I wanted to establish if there has been some kind of irregularities and malpractices, and if the law enforcement agencies have been involved in trying to find out or investigate these kind of malpractices. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to fire right away. Chairperson and Honourable Minister, if I remember correctly, the previous meeting we had about this matter, I think it was reported to us that there was only one trustee left. If I remember correctly, you must just help me now. And we saw now on the court papers that there are 11 of them as provided by the Master of High Court on the notice of 2 March 2017. I just want to know, what is the salary packages of these trustees? Are they any getting any remuneration while they are the trustees of this trust? And just take a note, Minister, your meeting agenda with the IDT trustees is dated 26 October 2022, not 2020. Let's just maybe correct that. And can you just explain to us, why did you not meet earlier in the year with these trustees, and why only on the day before yesterday, the 26th of October? And is it possible that this committee can get a copy of the trust documents which was drawn up by an attorney to hand in at the High Court to establish this trust before the issuing of a letter of authority of 2nd of March 2017? I think that could clear up some matters. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you, and greetings to honourable members, the Minister, the DM, as well as the acting DG and the entire team, the support staff of the Portfolio Committee. You are saluted. Chair, we were seated at the state of confusion here, because the department keeps on changing its tune. Probably one must depart from this point. In our last meeting, it was clear from us as members that we are not agreeing to the dissolution of IDT based on the reasons that were presented today. The minister was quick to say to us that doing a study to determine what should happen. But it is clear that from the onset, the minister had dissolution at the back of her mind in relation to what should happen with IDT. Now, it becomes a problem to engage here, because each and every day there's a presentation, there are new issues. One, the issue of the governance structure. Throughout the year, surely the department and the minister have been engaging with wrong people. Today, we are getting new information of other members who are still there. But now, it becomes difficult, Chairperson, to engage on this matter, because we are on different levels. The first thing is that the committee expressed itself that it does not support the dissolution of the IDT, but seemingly the minister is forging ahead with this one. The other issues which are there to me, they are secondary. The inconsistencies brought in, they are secondary. In our last meeting, the minister assured us that they are going to make sure that the jobs of the people working in IDT are safe. Today, we have the presentation, 103 fixed-term contracts have been terminated. Now, you as a department, IDT has service-level agreement with entities. There's a moratorium in IDT, nothing is happening. The impact on the social responsibility and program of IDT is not going to be achieved. We get this presentation today somewhere, it shows you the underperforming of the entity, but it's only on the basis of the Department of Public Works not meeting its obligation. Now, what do you want to do with IDT? Do you have a plan on what should happen with IDT? And who's going to take over the responsibility of IDT if you dissolve it? Because seemingly you are determined at all costs that you want to dissolve IDT. As much as you do not want to pronounce it, because when we ask you, you keep on tiptoeing. Can you take the can you take us as a committee into confidence? What is it that you want to do? Such that we know what we're talking about, unlike now that we're moving in a second. Thanks, Chairperson. Let me pause there.
Chairperson.
Honorable Shabalala.
Yes, Chair. A quick one. I don't hear the mention of the organized labor here, because then we are anticipating the litigation over litigation for the future. The staff layout, I don't see anything, a plan or placement. What is it that is going to happen? Are you going to lay off all these people during the COVID and post-COVID? Are we looking at increasing the number of unemployment?
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Honorable Matebula? Honorable Matebula?
I'm covered, Chair. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Matebula. Thank you, Honorable Members. Minister and the Department, I just want to remind you that on the 17th of June this year, we had a joint meeting with the Select Committee from the NCOP. We were discussing the issue of IDT, and then we were promised a full report on the work that has been done by the task team since 2018. I understand there are new developments. So mine would be, is the department going to deal away with the task team that now there are trustees that have been legally recognized by the High Court, or is the department going to deal with the task team and the trustees? Because soon, Minister, you must know that once you recognize those trustees, we are going to ask them to come to the committee so that they give us their plans about IGT. So we are going to ask them. So I want to check now that you have trustees that have been that have resurfaced, four of them. But accordingly, they're not correcting. If it's four, you need to add two more. And apparently, there are two more that are there. So what are you going to do? You have a task team on the site, which we are expecting its report today. Then there are trustees. We're going to speak on what is currently happening now. And Minister, I think I concur with what my colleagues have said. You promised that no job losses will occur during all these processes, but now we are told that there are a fixed contracts that have been dealt with. Are they going to be replaced, or what is going to happen? Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the members for the questions. Chairperson, in taking over Diem and myself this department, we had to familiarize ourselves with the history of all the entities. And the history of all the entities is contained in many annual reports, financial reports, and all of that. So we have inherited an IDT that was already dysfunctional. It was also the subject of a court case between the previous minister, Minister Stulas Nesi, and the trustees. And we inherited a board of trustees that was called interim trustees because it was subject to the outcome of this court case. We have now been asking to get the records of this court case so that we can establish the facts. Advocate Gondlet was acting for the department, and our legal department is now checking on, you know, how this court case was finalized. So, I mean, I will just say we inherited the mess. And we are trying to sort out that mess now. So in terms of the trustees from Honorable Sawisa, when we came in, the trust was operating with the four interim trustees. And we continue to work with the four interim trustees, including the letter of 17 February that the interim trustees wrote to us. And then, you know, we then started the whole process of the IDT task team, including the IDT. And all those reports, I will check, Honorable Chairperson, you mentioned that you didn't receive the report of the task team. And I will ask the department to make that report available. But IDT continued to operate like this until we received a letter from a trustee, honorable member. And when I received the letter, I said to the department, to the acting DG, we must now write to the Master of the High Court, who is the custodian of the trust deed of IDT, to give us guidance as to the status of the interim trustees, the current trustees. And that is where I say, Chairperson, that the master then revealed that there, according to the records of the court, that there are four trustees that are still registered. And then we started the process to invite those four trustees back. Again, in terms of the final decision, because members keep on asking whether I have decided and do I take you in confidence? I always take you in confidence. We've also reported to the committee that there's a parallel process going on where the way to get the IDT onto the agenda of cabinet is to follow a process of drafting a cab memo. That process of is also ongoing. On Friday, this coming Friday, the social cluster, the economic social cluster, was supposed to consider the cab memo. I was just informed this morning that it has been postponed, but the CAP memo has gone through the Director Generals of all the departments, structure called FOSA, and they have approved that this must proceed towards Cabinet. So that is work in process, because the ultimate and the final decision will be taken by Cabinet, as it is prescribed within the trust deed of the IDT. Now, what happened yesterday was that the two trustees that presented themselves on Monday in this meeting, they were not part of the trustees that the master advised us that are active trustees. And that's why we had to write again to the master to ask him to clarify. We took it further, Chairperson, like I've said earlier on, to ask the state attorney to give us a legal opinion on you know, just how do you legally manage IDT now. But, Chairperson, ultimately, what is the difficult thing here is that IDT exists as a trust, and IDT also exists as a Schedule 2 entity that is guided by the PMFA. Now, somewhere in the past history, can't remember the exact date, when IDT was turned into, away from a trust into a Schedule II entity, but the actual procedures to make IDT a legal Schedule II entity, we can't find any record where that has been done. So IDT then, in terms of Schedule II of the PMFA, they operated also as both a trust and a Schedule II entity. And therefore, even now, in terms of our request to National Treasury for funding, National Treasury used Section 49 and Section 48 of the Schedule II entities to put those conditions. So it's not that we are trying to be evasive, Chairperson. It is because sometimes IDT is a Schedule II and sometimes it is a trust. Now, the issue of giving leadership raised by Honorable Sawisa. Yes, the Deputy Minister, myself, we have been engaging since July last year with the IDT. And what is being paramount to us was to make sure that one, the service delivery continue while we do all of these investigations. And as you can see, the portfolio and the income of IDT over the past two financial years reduced by something like 60% and 62%. So yes, there are serious governance problems. There are serious financial problems. And let me just briefly speak to the financial conditions now. We all know that in the sixth administration, a decision was taken by this government that we need to look at all the state-owned entities. The president established a state-owned company council. And there was also the decision that no further bailouts because we just didn't have the money in the fiscus. So we must put the debate of IDT also within that context. That IDT is not different from other entities that need bailouts like the NEL and ESCOM and all of that. And look at the government's current position on how they deal with entities. I even mentioned in one meeting, Honorable Chairperson, that if the committee feels so strongly that we need further bailouts for IDT to continue to operate, then that request can be made to government for further bailout. But from DPWI side, in terms of the operational cost, we have done our bit to request National Treasury to help us with funding the IDT. Where we are right now, because some of the contracts are coming to an end, the acting director general, in terms of the note that you was reading to ministers, to members earlier on, was that the further bailout is conditional. And just this morning, I spoke to the acting DG and I said, you must now give me a letter in writing to say whether you are satisfied with the conditions set up by National Treasury in terms of Section 36 and 49, so we can finalize the matter. And we have agreed to meet afterwards. Yes, the trust deed is available. Any member can have access to it. I think it's advisable that the members get that. It is a registered legal trust with the master. The issue of the history of the board, it's another history that we have inherited, Honorable Chairperson. And that the history of the board was the previous ministers, not even ministers. And that history is there for all to see. So we inherited an interim board. Now, the decision to dissolve IDT and the decision must be taken by the trustees in consultation with the shareholder, and in this case, the shareholder is government, and it is cabinet, And that is why cabinet need to be consulted also on this. The DBSA and KUGA has been implementing agents in their own right. It's also, they've been there for years. There are basically three implementing agencies that government has been using for many, many years. So DBSA and KUGA did not just come into the picture. Now they have been together with IDT implementing agencies for a long time. Now, there's also a question asked whether we that we are using this year's performance to sort of judge IDT. No, it's not only this year's performance. We are using all the previous years of all the reports from Parliament, the annual reports, the financial reports, the Auditor General reports, because there's a history. And the way we are sitting now, honourable members, is a culmination of that history that has put us in this position today. And then,
can you someone switch mute the mic off honourable Shabala, please.
Chairperson, also the question from Honourable Tring as to how many trustees. Now, we work on the basis of what the Master of the High Court has now confirmed are trustees, and that's what I've written to the make inquiry.
Can they please assist us and mute Honorable Shabalala?
Yeah, I've been muting Honorable Shabalala, but she keeps coming back on.
Okay, I will call her.
Can I proceed, Chairperson?
Please, Minister, please proceed.
Yes, I'm now dealing with the question from Honorable Tring. Where he was asking about how many trustees. We are now working on the basis of the four trustees that the master has confirmed with us. And that's why I reported to the committee this morning. The other two trustees that came to the meeting on Monday, I've written a letter to the master yesterday to ask him to confirm. The model under which IDT has operating, that model has been there for years, long before, and part of the challenges in IDT is exactly because of that model. And we have reported to the committee before about the weaknesses of this model. Honorable Yiglin, no, IDT must not go to Parliament, it must go to Cabinet. That is in terms of the trust, in terms of the trust deed. And that is why we have informed the committee that there's a Cabinet a memo that will be going to the Cabinet and the process is ongoing. What is the difference between ISA and IDT? IDT is an implementing agency like KUGA, like DBSA, when ISA is part of DPWI and is the structure of DPWI and has been approved as such as the structure of DPWI in terms of the reconfiguration of the department in the sixth administration. So that is the difference. Honorable Van Skalkwyk, the service level agreement, in our report to the committee, we have explained that there are three work streams within IDT and the work streams are looking at all the service level agreements. We even indicated to you in this presentation that there are different service level agreements. There are service level agreements directly between IDT and the various line departments and provinces. And their service level agreement, there's a tripartite agreement between DPWI, where the user department has requested DPWI to provide the service, and DPWI then in turn engage the services of IDT, and in that case, it will be a tripartite agreement that is being used. The litigation cost is part of the 26 billion rand. The liabilities of IDT is 26 billion rand. And if I recall correctly, it is the litigation on itself is just under 500 million rand currently that's active before the court. There was one as a reason as recently as August this month. So the 500 million litigation is part of the 26 billion rand liabilities of the IDT. We have indicated right from the beginning that we need to act within the Labor Relations Act and the staff of IDT. I've even gone so far as to ask the DPWI's HR department that we work at secondment of IDT members, IDT employees to DPWI, so that we just continue with the service delivery and all the projects that is outstanding. So certainly we must follow the Labor Relations Act, and we can't unilaterally decide what will happen to the staff of IDT. But what we've done was to give a breakdown of the core staff and the support staff of IDT. Any of the irregularities, whether it has been taken to law enforcement, I have attached to the report today a copy of the report of an investigation that was done by the IDT, by National Treasury on the IDT, and most of the action around the irregularities within IDT has not been dealt with. You can see that there are quite big amounts involved, and I have put it before the committee today again, because I said to the department that we should now look at the forensic investigations that is being conducted by the various investigative agencies, and then act with urgency on the recommendations of those forensic reports based on the findings of National Treasury. So again, that is work in progress. If I do miss any of the questions, please forgive me. We can certainly answer them in writing. Honorable Van Staden, about one trustee left. Yes, as and when the Intergovernmental Relations Department, Malotela Mowasa, whenever there is a resignation of a trustee, he will inform the DM and myself. And he did inform us that there was only one trustee left, and that trustee also resigned. The salaries or the board fees for board members is prescribed by National Treasury. We have also given the new trustees the new regulations from National Treasury that has put a cap on the fees for the Board of Trustees. Maybe the acting DG or the CFO can remember the rate per hour. I don't have it with me now. Of course, a copy of the trust deed is available, and I think it must be read together with Schedule 2 as an entity. Now, Honorable Mashile, I don't know where he comes on moratorium. There was no moratorium placed on any of the projects of IDT. We have continued to work very hard behind the scenes to make sure that all of the committed projects of IDT, which is over 2,600, that we find ways and means to mitigate that, and that is being driven by the acting CEO, Mr. Lombard, and also the work streams that is that have assisted him. So there was no moratorium on IDT. IDT, yes, is an underperforming entity, and I think as we move forward to find lasting solutions for IDT, we also need to look at the performance. And He said, what do I want to do with IDT? It's not what I want to do with IDT. In terms of the trust deed, the shareholder is government, and it's government through a cap memo that will decide, not the minister. And that is why we need to take a memo to cabinet. Honorable Chair, the joint meeting with the task team of, the joint meeting with NCOP, I will certainly make sure again that we give the report and the updated work of the task team, some of which is in the current report about the various work streams, that report must come to the Honorable Chair. Now, the issue of recognizing trustees, the four trustees has been recognized, and therefore we are working with the four trustees now. And together, if chairperson say that if the trustees come to the portfolio committee with a different plan, what I have asked them to do is that they need a minimum of 8 trustees. I've said, let us start the process to add an additional 4 trustees. How that needs to be done, there is a procedure in, I think, 8.2 and 8.3 of the trust deed as to how that must be done. We have started that process to bring on additional trustees. But in the meantime, we are giving the 4 trustees what has transpired since 2018 when they were not part of the trust. And I've got confidence, Chairperson, that together with the trustees, we will find an amicable solution, and we will come to the committee with a joint report of what we agree on finally, what is in the best interest of the country, what is in the best interest of our people, what are we going to do with the bailouts, how are we going to make IDT a viable entity. And all of those things are of this country. For me, that is what we must put first, and not that it is the minister that wants to close down IDT. You cannot. The minister just cannot close IDT without following due process, and due process is within the law. And so I look forward to the legal opinion from the state attorney, because I think it will put this thing to bed. It will also guide the portfolio committee and the department how we proceed legally in future, because we can't act unlawfully. So, Chairperson, unfortunately, I have to run, but if there's any other information or any questions that they want, I'm leaving the DM behind. The DM, as you all know, in the sixth administration was delegated the powers by the president as the deputy minister to be responsible for all entities within the Department of Public Works and all intergovernmental relations. So the DM has been working very hard, Chairperson and Honourable Members. So please, can we rely on your support? Give us some solutions. Give us some guidance. Let us not try and work against each other, Chairperson, because it will not be in the interest of IDT. So I hope that we can get solutions from members that can enhance the process so that we find a lasting and amicable solution to the IDT. Chairperson, once again, thank you for the opportunity. I will now give over to the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. As you indicated earlier on that you have to leave for the cabinet, we will release you. We'll continue with the DM and the team that is led by Acting DG. Honourable Members, I understand that some have indicated that they would like follow-up questions, but we have to release the Minister, as she indicated earlier, even before the start of the meeting, that there's a cabinet meeting that is starting at 10 and she would like to be released at 10. So now it's almost 10 and we have to release her. Honourable Members, before we give it to DM, I think I understand that you have follow-up questions. Is Honourable Mashele only who has raised his hand?
Me too, Chair.
Okay, let me, even if it's not there, it's Honourable Mashele, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Van Staden, but Honourable Van Staden is no more now. I don't know whether the system has kicked him out.
I'm fine, Madam Chair, don't worry.
Okay. Honourable Shabalala's device has to be managed seriously. She has been interrupting people that have been speaking. I don't know whether Honourable Shabalala also wants to speak, but let me give to the two members that have indicated that they want to speak, Honourable Swissa and Honourable Mashele. Over to you, Honourable Members.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We are moving in a second. If my memory serves me well, Chair, in August and also in June, we had the discussion of a similar nature. And quantitatively, including today's meeting, if we get out of this meeting and somebody asks me, but well myself, to say, what is happening with IDT, where does the ball want to land, I will not be able to respond. And it's unfortunate that now the main shareholder of IDT have left the meeting. And we are supposed to ask the DM and the acting DG and have, according to me, we are now supposed to remain here and have an informal discussion. The main actor here have left. I'll give you an example, Chairperson. When you ask a question, the role of the minister, the goalposts are changed, the decision rests with cabinet. And that is the shareholder that is telling us that the decision rests with cabinet. When you say you will invite the shareholder, you are told that they ought to be 8. And these are the people that in all these reports of the past two meetings I'm talking about, were told that they have been consulted. Chair, now I'll propose that we we release the DM and the entire team and remain as a committee and take a decision that will be able to instruct the department on what to do. All these other issues that I've raised the hand while the minister was there that I wanted to raise, I will not raise them. I'm proposing that can the department be released, we remain as a portfolio committee and formulate a position on how to deal with this thing. Otherwise, this meeting will just add statistics and be like the two previous meetings we have had during lockdown, which was still moving in expected. It's my proposal, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mashele. Before we entertain the proposal, let's first hear from Honorable Sewisa.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, what Honorable Mashele is saying is true. The person who's supposed to be answering questions is not here. I'm tempted to say that we must reschedule, we must make a special meeting so that we must find out about the stresses, because now there's a question that was asked, what is the role of the task team versus the trustees? I have a question that says that why was the task team set up if there are trustees? I have a feeling that some of my questions were not answered. Who was consulted in February for them to reach a point of establishing a task team? You yourself, Chairperson, has asked a question of what is the role of the task team and what is the role of the trustees? Are we moving forward with the task team or are we moving forward with the trustees? There's been four. Originally, there are 11 trustees, according to the information that you got. There are supposed to be 11. To correct, you need 6. Now we are sitting with 4 that were appointed. The other 2 came in later, only to find out that they were never. My question is, were they even consulted the other 4? What's happening? There's a lot of blank pages and there's a lot of gray areas. It seems as if the minister doesn't want to put her head on the blog to say this is what needs to happen, and then now we are supposed to be left with the task to say, because we've been talking about IDT, it's a mutual understanding from this committee that IDT must not go anywhere. We've been singing this song for as long as we can remember, that IDT has a mandate. IDT cannot go anywhere. Who's going to take over IDT if IDT needs to go? People are losing their jobs. At one point when we raised the issue of there's a possibility that people are going to lose their jobs, we were told that we must count our words, or I don't know, we must be careful of what we say when we talk in parliament. We are going to make people panic that their IDT is going to be closed down. Now people are losing their jobs. Last year we were told that we must be careful as to what we tell the public, that specifically from the deputy minister, to say we can't cause a panic, people are going to, we can't be talking of those things that we discuss in the committee must remain in the committee, and now people are losing jobs. People have actually lost jobs, Jefferson. So the person who's supposed to answer that, I'm saying it again, the buck stops with the minister. The minister is the one that sits meetings with the president. The daughter, the last person to sign on the papers is the minister. The minister is supposed to be here and answer those questions. And maybe we'll have to change that. The expropriation bill meetings must sit on Wednesday, and then our normal meetings must sit on Tuesday, so that there mustn't be any disturbance of cabinet meetings and executive meetings and whatever, so that we should be able to get answers
the minister must be accountable for what happens in, because at this moment there is no leadership. We are steering a ship that is going to drown worse than the Titanic itself, whereby we won't be able to have any survivors at the end of the day. This is where we are going at this moment. And it's not going to assist. The DM is going to answer some of the questions, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with the minister. The minister must be here to answer all of these questions of 4 and 8 and trustees and trustees and letters being written. When were the letters? When were these people consulted for others to come out? Were these people even consulted to say that we are here? Are you? This is what's happening to IDT. We need to have a meeting. This is the first time we hear about the meeting that happened yesterday or the day before. And we have a date of February. And we've been told the ISA, UHA, GBSA, and yet we've got trustees out there. Were they even consulted? And again, are we not afraid? Is the department not afraid to be taken to court by these trustees to say that you never even consulted us about what you want to do about IDT? Tina, we've got other plans that you want to pursue about IDT. This is our plans. This is what needs to happen. Because for the whole of last, almost when we started this committee, we were told positive reports, even though we picked up, we always pick up something in what happens in these entities. But we were told, no, we are going to do this and that and that. And then, boom, in January, we are told about the task team and an exit plan, strategy plan about the IDT. And now again, we are hearing another June. Can we be taken serious, Chairperson? We are here to serve the Republic of South Africa. We are here to serve the public out there. We are here to make sure that people don't lose their jobs. We can't be playing merry-go-rounds here. That's one minute, that's, we are told that's the next minute, we are told something else. We cannot. This is why I always say, when I ask the question, I always say, I wonder what the answer is going to be today. Is it going to be different from the other platform when we get to our PC? Because at the end of the day, the first and foremost people that the department is accountable to is this committee. But every time we are told different stories, every time we have to get information from newspapers, from media statements, people are fighting in newspapers and forgetting that their main core is to serve the Republic of South Africa and its citizens, which are the ones that make sure that today we have a parliament. But we are getting, every time you get to the newspaper, they are kept fight, they are fight left, right, and center. And we are being ignored. And every time when people come here, we have to listen to different stories every time. For once, let us be taken serious. For once, let us be taken serious. We are not here. We are here because South Africa voted for us, and we are here to hold everybody accountable. But if Lento Ishalapa is going to continue, I don't know what's happening. Because I'm saying it again, leadership skills, monitoring, evaluation is not happening. That is why at the later stage you'd find that we don't even know that there are trustees that are in IDT. And every time there's a new story that's happening, Chair, can we please, can the department take us serious? Can the department take us serious? We are here on taxpayers' money. We are wasting data on taxpayers' money, and every time we have to log in and listen to stories. If Sipeli is cutting to be listening to stories, let us be serious. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, Honourable Crime Murray, is your hand up or it was before?
No, I put it up again, Chair, if I may just have a couple of seconds.
Okay.
Chair, I know we're sort of rehashing the same thing over and over, but I think it's important that we remember how this all started. In February, at a meeting, we were in that little funny room in Parliament. We asked the DG and the minister what was happening with IDT. At that meeting, we were told that they were going to restructure IDT. 2 weeks later, we read in the media that the minister is closing down IDT. We've never, ever been presented with any option by the minister or the department with respect to IDT. And to my knowledge, there were actually three things that were proposed by the board. The one was to commercialize the IDT. The second one was to change it to a Schedule 3. And the third one was to close it down. None of those options were brought to the portfolio committee. We have, the minister says she's taking us into her confidence. She's never taken us into her confidence. We learn about every single thing in the media. Not once has the minister come to us and said, listen, these are the options. These are the things we're looking at. What are the inputs from Parliament, etc. And Honourable Mashele and Honourable Siwisa are exactly right that we are just being treated as though, you know, we're sort of, you know, in the background and they'll just throw us a bone every now and then. It's actually not acceptable. I'm very concerned now that we're sitting with only four active trustees. We need eight to curate to take any decisions according to what the minister has told us. She's now said that they're embarking on a process of appointing eight people. They haven't followed any process until now. So how do we know whether or not we are going to properly appoint board members to this board now, or if they're just going to be people that are just shoved in there to take a decision that supports what the minister is trying to do? I'm really concerned that things, there's been no due process whatsoever. We've been asking since the last 6 months, we've been asking for the task team report, the ideas around the closure. We still have not received those documents. The minister is just going ahead and doing her thing as she's done with everything else, and she's not consulting this committee. We have a role to play, as Siwisa has said, and we're just being absolutely obstructed from doing the role. And then when we ask our questions for oversight, we get lambasted by the minister and told that we can't be asking questions of her and she's doing her job. This is not acceptable. I think we need to call the four board members and ask them for their input and find out what they've been told, because I've got a feeling they've been told something completely different to what we're being told, because I don't think anybody is being told the same story along this entire line. So I would like to, I agree with Honourable Mashele. I think this committee needs to sit, just the committee, and we need to take a decision as to how we are going to deal with this. Because I honestly believe that the minister is doing what she likes, when she likes, and this committee has been treated as a, you know, an ugly stepsister, and we kind of get told when we ask the question. Again, I'm going to reiterate, the minister has not answered a single one of my written questions for over 2 months. I've asked questions on the IDT. I haven't received any responses. The minister is not treating this committee the way we are supposed to be treated. We are here, as Siwisa said, at taxpayers' money. We are earning salaries to do our oversight over the minister, and she is not allowing us to do our jobs. So I agree. I think we must reconvene, and I think we need to invite the board members, the existing board members. We need to see the trust document, and we now need to monitor the process of the appointment of the additional trustees. Because again, the minister's taken the decision to close down the IDT, when in fact only the trustees can take that decision and they have to quorate to do it. So on what basis has this decision been made? Because it's unlawful according to the trustee if the minister has taken this decision without a quorum of appointed board members. So Chair, I really think that this needs to be addressed properly. Because we cannot carry on functioning as a portfolio committee that's being treated the way we're being treated. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Just one thing that I think it has to be said to the DM and the team, as they are still here. When acting DG was presenting to us, he indicated a bleak future for the 103 employees. And if I heard him correctly, by Friday, those 103 employees, it will be their last day at work. You have trustees here that have resurfaced. You are in the process of appointing further four trustees so that it creates. And on the other hand, the department is continuing with releasing employees. I suggest that, but we will write something as the committee after the meeting. But I think you reconsider that on behalf of the committee. I'm raising that now, Deputy Minister and Acting G, reconsider this issue of releasing those 103 employees. We don't want further legal infighting that will continue further. There are these trustees now. At least whatever that you do, ensure that they are part of the decisions. Don't take decisions alone. Maybe you took this decision before you knew that there are trustees that were there. But also, we will communicate with you through our committee secretary the decisions that we're going to take in this meeting. But I am taking on what Honorable Mashele has said, that let's release the deputy minister, the acting DG, and all the members of the department from this meeting. And then we are left as members to discuss our stand, which we have said it several times, that as this portfolio committee, we don't support the dissolution of IDT. So Deputy Minister, Acting DG, thank you for your time for coming to our meeting. Again, as you usually do, you present what you have, but thank you again for your time. You are now formally released that you can leave the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Honorable members, thank you again for your robust engagement on this matter and your consistent in trying to save jobs for many and the function that the IDT is currently doing for South Africans. There are issues that have come up. The new issue now is the trustees that have been there but were not consulted. Two is the issue of the 103. Yes.
Sorry for disturbing you. Where the participants now, we are 39. Maybe if we can check who are those so that we can understand the quorum of us who are attending or not.
We had this challenge yesterday, Honorable Mjobo. I asked who was in the meeting because I saw someone saying British Consulate, and I was informed that meetings are open for everyone to attend. We just released the department because we don't want the department to participate in our discussion. But Nola, can you come in? Ms. Martinez.
Thanks, Chair. I was waiting for you to get done talking before I could ask a question, that is this discussion specifically now for the committee, or can we let the other participants remain after releasing the department?
Okay. Oh, so maybe it's in committee, we used to say to in that another sphere that I used to serve it. Honorable members, do we keep the meeting on the yes?
Honorable I'll not have a problem with the meeting being public, since it's a public meeting. I just had a problem with remaining with the DM and people who are not the executive authority. So if these people are part of the media in public, it's fine. We are here on behalf of them. And not necessarily that we're not going to say these things that we're going to say when those that have left. So from where I am, let it remain a public meeting. We'll raise our issues these things I knew were break them before, but at some point we needed to say to the department they must take us serious because they have been clowning. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chairperson, may I just highlight that some part of the delegation is the IDT trustees that have also joined our meeting today. So I'm not sure if the committee would like to release them or would be happy to keep them in the meeting.
On that one, Nola, they're here to observe as part of the public and part of the South Africans because they were not formally invited, just like they are media people. So I want to correct that thing, that much as they are here now in this meeting, they're just observing because they can't respond to questions. We will formally issue an invitation to them when we want them to, when we want to engage with them. So anyone who is here is now part of the public who is here to observe the proceedings of the meetings. As I understand that the meeting, other than it, them being part of the meeting now, the meeting is also flighted in the parliamentary channel, flighted on the YouTube of the parliament. So in any way, the meeting is public. So we can't say you're closing the meeting when it is flighted in the parliamentary channel. So we just wanted to release the department. Even if it was here, the fact that we released them is because we wanted them not to participate in the engagement that we are going to do now. So they won't be part of the engagement. That's why we had to ask them to leave the meeting. I will then, I think let's continue on our members. Yes.
Morning, Chair and colleagues.
Honourable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you and the colleagues in the Portfolio Committee. Chair, I just wanted to say that on record, I'm very disadvantaged by my connection here at home. You know, being a rural boy has its disadvantages and advantages, but in this case, I'm very disadvantaged. I was only able to come back a few minutes ago when you were chasing away the department or the executive authority. And I don't really know the ground, but I'll just follow from what my colleagues have been saying, and maybe I'll get a scope on what has been discussed for the past 30 minutes when I've been unable to actually get connections because I had to move to a separate space than where I was previously. I just wanted to put that on record, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Mumalo. Let's welcome you in the meeting. We understand the challenges. The reality is that we don't yet have universal access to internet. That's why we have challenges when we are in our rural homes. But I think you will catch the gist of the meeting as we continue. But for now, I am inviting members to on the issues that I've raised and some of the issues that you have also raised, honorable members. I'm inviting you now. I've seen the hands, Honorable Tring, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Van Staden. I've seen only those two hands, Honorable Mashele. In that order, Honorable Tring, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Van Staden, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Siwisa. In that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think unfortunately also I had some seems like connectivity problems and I got kicked out of the meeting. So I wasn't sure whether the minister had actually answered my question or not, or my questions with regards to how is it that as trustees of IDT, you actually have these trustees of an entity that has to account to the department and whether the department was not able to keep track administratively of who the trustees are, how many trustees we actually have, who's resigned and so on. So unfortunately, because I got kicked out, I didn't hear whether the minister had actually answered my question. But I think certainly, Chair, for me, that seems to be a particular problem. It's an administrative problem, an accountability problem within the department as well. But I want to agree also with Honorable Sirisa when she mentioned I was the one who asked the question at Parliament with regards to the IDT, whether the IDT was actually going to be closed or not, what was going to be happening to the employees in the department, in the entity. And the meeting subsequent to that, we had, I think it was the deputy minister, and maybe followed on also by the minister, who said we've got to be careful about what kind of questions we ask, what kind of statements we make with regards to IDT. And yes, indeed, the statement was that we could be sowing panic when the questions were actually legitimate questions. So I clearly remember that particular meeting where we were engaging with the minister, deputy minister, with regards to IDT. Now, Chair, we come to discover, because then it was told that the IDT was not going to be dissolved. So clearly there is a problem with regards to what is happening to the IDT. I also clearly remember the three options as well. And I think Honorable Samantha's actually given those particular three options. And we were told in that particular meeting that these are just three options and the dissolution of IDT was one of the three options, but we will be consulted. And I agree with my colleagues that as the oversight of the department, we as members of parliament have not been treated in a way that oversight members ought to be treated. And I think we need to put our foot down. We need to put our foot down and we need to be categorical in terms of our position with regards to the IDT and where we see this going. The challenge that I currently am sitting with, Chair, is whether there are not decisions that have been taken at a higher level and that we may not know about. You know, we talk about infrastructure, South Africa, for example, and there's been rumors that the IDT was going to be subsumed, was going to be absorbed into infrastructure IDT. So there are also decisions that have been taken at a higher level that we may not be privy to. So I think that's just also one of my other concerns. But I agree with the comments also made by my other colleagues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you so much, Chair. Yes, Honorable Tring, you actually took the words right out of my mouth. We were told almost categorically that the IDT was going to form part of ISA, and it was, you know, this is where the subterfuge, and I have to use the word subterfuge, really, really bothers me. Unilateral decisions are taken. We are the oversight body. We are the committee, the portfolio committee, tasked with holding the executive to account. And yet, decisions are taken away from us. We find out about everything that is supposed to be going on in this department. We find out about stuff that we are supposed to be taking decisions on in the media. The minister constantly talks about following due process, and I am challenging her, openly challenging her, to show me where she's followed due process here. You cannot come to the committee and say, you didn't find out about it in the media, we discussed it. No, we didn't. We did find out about the pending closure of the IDT, amongst other things, in the media. I am livid, as are my other colleagues. We are not being taken seriously. We actually have to put our foot down. We actually have to claim our space. This is our job. This is the reason we are in Parliament. We cannot be dictated to. This is our job. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Van Steden.
No, thank you, Madam Chairperson. Now, I must concur with my colleagues before me. Since the starting of this new terms committee and that we, the members were all of this committee, it seems like every time there's a different story before us as a committee from the minister herself. And it seems like with many other cases as well, not only this one, as that she keeps passing the buck to someone else. It's never me, it's never me. But we as a committee cannot be a rubber stamp for stuff which has been done by the minister and which is not being done correctly, and we are not keeping into the loop of things. We must, like the previous a colleague of mine said, we only heard about stuff happening in the media. And it is not the right way to do. We must be treated with a due respect, and we must know as a committee, portfolio committee of public works, and know what's going on in the department and not kept out of the loop by the minister or the executive. So therefore, Madam Chairperson, I want to suggest yes, let's schedule a meeting with the four trustees. Let's get another view on what is going on here. And let's get to these documents and to get clarity for ourselves in order to take a decision in this matter. But yeah, we must, it can't go on like this. It's totally unacceptable. Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Honorable Mashele.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, I think my colleagues, those that came before me, summarized this thing very well. Our problem is that we sit in these meetings, probably some of us, we take them serious. And there are those that do not take these meetings serious. I am raising this because it is fashionable that today you get this response, tomorrow you get this one. It's worse that even in the same meeting you can get an opposite of the first response. The minister likes using intimidating tactics on us. When you ask a question as a portfolio committee and you are told by a shareholder that the decision rests with cabinet. What is that? Who is cabinet? When you invite the minister can invite people to come here and assist her in responding. So if there is an individual somewhere who is cabinet, the minister must bring that individual here to come in account. And Chair, we must be clear that we're not going to nurse anyone's feelings. Our role is to do oversight, and in our journey of doing oversight, we're not going to be romantic in the process. From our last meeting, we were clear that we do not support the view of the minister closing down IDG. But when she comes there today, she comes like this is a new meeting and present as if this is a new meeting, we're starting to hear what she's saying for the first time. And it cannot be said. Can't be that the minister wants to treat us as a by-the-way issue. She comes here, give an opening or a grand opening remarks and leave. We're a portfolio committee and we must be taken serious. Probably we must look at the date that we meet with the minister, because today she'll tell us that it's going to cabinet. Probably we must use Wednesday to meet ourselves as a committee, consolidate our views, get another day where the minister will be available, such that we are able to have discussions with her. Because in my recollection of things, in all the meetings, the minister will come in and leave. And we engage with other people. Hence, I requested that we must remain alone. This committee must not allow the minister to butcher people's jobs and add unemployment. It was the minister herself who told us that no one is going to lose any job in IDC. Today we've got a report of 103 people losing their jobs. And what do we call that? Why does the minister make it a habit to come to this committee and find it a hobby to come to this committee and lie? Because it means the minister lied to us when he said people are not going to lose their jobs. We have got a report today here. People are going to lose their jobs. And we are seated here with them to be representative of the people, and we must be quiet. We must be quiet around those things. We should not allow that thing to happen. We must not allow anyone, including the minister, we must not allow anyone to close down an institution that is supposed to deliver social infrastructure and the non-state sector of ECWP. We admit there are problems in IDC, just like there are problems in public works. If the minister is honest to herself, let her close public works and say to the president, I failed my responsibility as a minister. This department is not delivering. There is not even a single department that is happy with the work of public works. But public works as a department is not closed. Now, why do you want to take a shortcut into the problems that engulfs IDC? The view to dissolve IDC from where I'm sitting, Chairperson, is just a shortcut. IDT has a problem. How do we save IDT? Because some of us have got an interest on IDT delivering social infrastructure. Chairperson, the last thing is that our chief must bite at some point. What powers do we have when we are clowned by the minister? The minister has taken a decision that she's hell-bent on clowning us. She does not take us serious. Why does she come to us and tell us this? The next thing, she tells us something else. What powers do we have as a committee? And I think there is part of the reason why I wanted us to sit alone was to say, let us discuss our powers and begin to use the eggs if we have. If we are a toothless barking dog, then that is something else. But a discussion to say what are our powers and what must we do when there are inconsistencies and the minister is lying to us. Because the minister cannot just do that and we take it as business as usual. I'll come back, Chair, once we've discussed our powers over the executive when it misleads us. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Suisa. Honorable Jobo, you are the last one.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, I remember my maiden speech when I spoke and I made the minister aware that there's a crisis in IDT. I remember very well that even Honorable Tring spoke about IDT. Everybody has been concerned about IDT. But now we are sitting with a minister and we are sitting with a department that does not take us serious. A minister would sit at a certain portfolio committee and give a certain answer. And he comes to the PC, he gives another answer. He goes to Parliament, he gives another answer. I've raised issues about IDT. I've raised issues about the department itself. Specifically coming back to the budget allocation for monitoring and evaluation, which was decreased. And I said it to the minister, you have a crisis in your department. And where you need more funds, you are actually decreasing funds. The minister has a tendency of coming here and undermining us and talking things as if we don't know what we are talking about. And I said it in one meeting that all of us as we are sitting here, we come with different experiences. All of us as we are sitting here, we do research about the committee that you are sitting in. We are not just here to make time pass. We come here prepared. We know what we are talking about. They must come here and present to us. The minister says we must take him. You will take us she will take us into confidence, we must take her into confidence, whereas she can't even do that. We are experiencing mess after mess after mess in this department every time. There's always something. There's always, you always ask yourself, what's next? You tune in into, you go to SCOPA, you get another answer. You get to PC of Public Works, you get another answer. You get to Parliament, you get another answer. Three different answers for one question asked by maybe different people or the same person. And then you get different answers. We've got a tendency of information not reaching us on time, and we always get information at the later stage. There's a tendency of there not being played open cards. There's a tendency of we have to rely on newspapers and media statements and whatever that's out there for us to know what's happening in the department. This has been a trend. And it takes me back to say that the minister has a shortage of leadership skills when it comes to her department. I don't know if it's done intentionally or it's not done intentionally. Now we are being told, when all was well last year, no, we are going to save IDT, we are going to do this and that and that and that. Comes to the presentation of APPs, they were drawn back. And then we were presented with an exit strategy, and we were told about a task team. There was never a mention of trustees. Now we are told that there was an issue between the previous minister, Tula Sinxele, and the trustees. What's happening? This is where we are standing now. In one meeting, the minister promised that because of the way the IDT is going, it's because of the sister departments are not paying the IDT. And she said that they are going to ask National Treasury to intervene to push the departments to be able to pay IDT. I don't know how far is that process. There's nothing that's been said about that. We have IDT, and then we've got UHA, we've got DBSA. And then we've got these two that we can't do anything about. And then we've got oversight rights over IDT. And we don't know what's happening with Kuha. And my question would be, why was Kuha brought on board? Why was DBSA brought on board? Those are some of the questions that if we are going to draft a letter to the minister, she must explain to us why were those two brought in if there is IDT. And were they any issues for DBSA to get their money, UHA to get their money on time, that we are finding ourselves with a problem in IDT. IDT has a very important role to play. IDT, without IDT, I don't know what's going to happen. You've got your infrastructure SA, which is very broad. It's a lot of things. And I asked the if IDT goes, who's coming in? And there was never an answer to that. The next thing we are told about infrastructure SA, the next thing we are told about investors, the private sector to come in and do this and that and everything. And we are forever going to have problems, Chairperson, with this department. It's not only IDT. For now, it's IDT. It's not only IDT. There's a lot of issues that are going on. People are losing jobs. And we've spoken about people losing jobs. EPWP, NGOs and MPOs, some of them are complaining about how things are done. Why they were never roped into when we went into the COVID. There's a lot of things that are going on in the Department of Public Works. There's never something tangible that we can hold our hands on and say. And they've got this motto that says, if public works works, then South Africa works. But at this moment, public works is not working. It's at a standstill. we are dealing with from one corruption to the next corruption, and we don't know how many more are out there. And I'm asking myself, these trustees that were never consulted, why are they even not taking the department to court to say that you are making decisions whereas we are here? We want the trustees to come back. Now we are being told about 8. Whereas 4 were consulted to take, I don't even know if they were consulted. We'll hear the day when we invite them here to come and tell us, because there are people that I know they've got balls in this, so my apologies for my words, but they've got that thing, Yokuchi, they can speak and say, this is not what's happening. This is not what we, because even in one of the meetings, I was saying that don't tell us about technical. And one official was saying, I was told to focus on the following slides. When we went to the oversight of Bay Bridge, somebody came in to say, this is not what happened. This is totally not what happened. So we are still going to see heads rolling in this department. We are still going to see officials. There's a lot of things that are going on. There's a lot of things that are going on in this department. And we are taken for granted as the PC that's sitting here. It seems as if the department has taken the norm, or has made it a norm, that the only people that they fear is the scope. To us, we are nothing. And we are sitting here with taxpayers' money to every time come and listen to stories. We are not babies. We are not here to be taken and said, lala, lala mtana, lala or lala kusha dikhebe. We are not here to do that. And I think it's about time we stand, we take a firm stand that we want correct reports. I don't know why the department comes here and makes presentations. And there is also this tendency of they make a presentation of, they give us a report of 130 pages or 5,000 pages. And then they certain pages have been skipped, and then they think that we don't know what's going on. So the department needs to take us serious. We are not here because we volunteered. We are here because of the department that the public said, go and be our voices. Go and hold people accountable. People queued lines for this parliament, the 6th administration, to be here today. People spend time on queues for them to see people being held accountable. And every time we have to come and sit here and listen to stories, actually half-baked stories from the Department of Public Works. Every time we must listen to half-baked stories. Now we have people that are going to, by Friday, their jobs will be ending, whereas we were promised that nobody is going to lose their jobs. So we need to draft a very firm letter to the minister to say that you need to be open with us. You need to tell us what's happening. Because I know in the next meeting something else is going to pop up. Something else is going to pop up, Chairperson. So we need to draft that letter that the minister must be accountable and be able to take us in his confidence. She must stop doing what she's doing every time. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mjabo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ngifuna ukuvumelana na wonke amalunga waleli komiti nokungaphatheki kwethu kahle, special on the issue of IDT. Not a single day where the members the supporter the issue ukuthi UIDT must be dissolved. The members stated clearly that the department must come up with the recovery plan. u-president kwi-State of the Nation address uthe wenze i-priorities. One of those priorities is creating job creation. But the public works akabonisi ukuthi unayo into yokwenzala amathuba omsebenzi. But kubonakala ukuthi 103 bazophelelwa umsebenzi. Yet u-public works unikwe new responsibility ye-infrastructure. Noba sekukhona leyo new responsibility u-public works akabonakali enento azanayo. So I'd like to align myself with all the input made by the members that we must do something and our voice must be heard. And Chairperson, what is not okay, the department always benza in presentation yabo can be singena ngo 9, then can take even 2 hours so that the members zingakwazi uku discuss. And ayikho nenye I presentation ekifike ithi members asi we can't do this IDT based on this and this and this, yeah. But if you have a presentation, but maybe today we so understand ukuthi between Tina na ma official yine fanele kwenzeke ngoba our responsibility is to make laws of this country. So ukuba singakwazi ukuvikela abasebenzi as sithi sizowadala amathuba emsebenzi, but same thina sikwazi ukusupporta into yokuthi abasebenzi baphelelwe ngumsebenzi, it's not okay at all. Andivumelana naleyo nto ukuthi kube nabantu abawu 103 yet this time of COVID-19 abasebenzi more than 2 million balahlekelwe umsebenzi. So we are adding, so I'm trying to say, Chairperson, as much as singekho happy, but asilandele indlela correct how to deal with this issue. And ukuthi u-IDT you are not support of dissolving, the department must do something about this, especially the minister, because ekugcineni kosuku singaxoxa sonke, but the minister must tell us what is the reason you dissolve IDT, yet there is a new responsibility in the department. Before the Department of Public Works, now it's the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Thanks, Chairperson, for your time.
Thank you, honorable members. I will start by reading Rule 227, paragraph C of the responsibilities of the committees in according to our rules of parliament. The committee may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any such executive, organ of state, constitutional institution, or other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of such organ of state, institution, or other
body or institution. I'm raising this because Honorable Mashele, in his input right now, also checked what are our responsibilities and duties as the committee, which means that we are given power by the rules to make recommendations to the department through an instruction on what they ought to do. I wanted to start there first before I make my own input, honorable members, on the issue that is just before us. Yes, Honorable Nxumalo, you would like to speak? Okay, Honorable Nxumalo, just before I speak.
Yes, bengisimpela sidala ukuthi ngikhulume ungakakhulumi ngoba ngikholwa ukuthi uhlala zokubeka kufanele kungikhave nami. Ngiyawezwa ama members ngoba ngike ngasho sidala ukuthi ngibe nengqinamba yokuthi angikhoni ukungena ngenxa yendlela yokuphumana kwezobuchwepheshe ngoba ngisemakhaya. Ngiyafisa sidala ukuthi masi discussa lolu daba noma silimunyunga ke sibe realistic ekusebenziseni ka-IDT. Ekutheni-ke kule minyaka ewu-8 since 2012-13 financial year, i-performance yayo ibe njani. And ingakancane inkece yabakhokhi bentela isisetshenziswe ilo mnyango noma ile entity yaka-IDT. Ekutheni ngoba kade ngibuka i-report yakhona sihlalo icela ukuthi nama-project akwi-backlog ayinqwaba, kunamanye futhi asekhomithiwe angapheli. Ngiyakhumbula nje nami ngisasebenzela wona umnyango ukuthi kunesikhathi eside la kwakuba khona ama-projects kumayekanikezwa i-IDT egcine engasebenzi. Now ngiyabezwa futhi abahlonishwa uma bekhuluma ukuthi kufanele siseve imisebenzi yabantu abawu-103. Ngiyavumelana nabo ukuthi akekho umuntu okufanele aluze umsebenzi. Kodwa sihlalo kufanele sikubuke ukuthi ukuqhuka noma ukusalela emuva ka-IDT kwenziwe ubani. Ngoba abantu aba-responsible yibo laba mhlasimbeke ngokuba domu bami noma ukungazi kahle. Kungayibo laba esithi namhlanje kufanele sibhikishe njengekomiti sivikele imisebenzi yabo. Futhi ngivumelanayo nakho. Kodwa sihlalo kufanele sikubuke kuzo kuwo wonke ama-angle ukuthi i-establishment i-IDT isayifeza yini inhloso yayo, sisawudinga yini njengoba kade eke washo omunye umhlonishwa engikholwa ukuthi umhlonishwa u-Hicking oke washo ukuthi njengamanje ku-introduce-wa ku-infrastructure South Africa. So ngenzela ukuthi sihlalo uma usuwenza input ungikhave nami ngoba ngiyehluleka ukulandela uma ngizwa abahlonishwa bekhuluma ngalo msebenzi. Kodwa uma ukuthi uyayibuka u-IDT ubone ukuthi uyi-collapse because kune kukhunye indaba ama-bail out. Kanti isibidio sokuthi sigcine lama-NTT angasilekeleli ngalokho yini singafaka ingqalasizinda ibe ningi kumnyango uqobolwayo ukuthi-ke nathi ngisho senze oversight yethu. Uma sesibonile ukuthi lo mnyango thizeni uyahluleka ngoba sizogcine siyithola sifana nakuma-SOEs sihlalo la esihlale sifake inkece khona kodwa sibone ukuthi ayahluleka ukuphefoma, ayahluleka futhi ukugayela uhulumeni inkece lena efanele. Ngizofisa nje sihlalo angifuni ukuphuma kakhulu kokusho oza kwethu kodwa ngenzela ukuthi ngibe nesithombe ngoba kade ngicacisile ukuthi i-network iyandihlupha lapha enkolo. Angithokoze sihlalo.
Thank you, Honorable Nxumalo. It's really unfortunate that some of the questions, people that have responded correctly, it's none other than the department, the minister, and the DM, which we have asked them to leave the meeting. But again, I will continue with trying to summarize what the committee members have said, and also trying to pave the way forward for this committee. Having also listened to what you have said, remember, we are in this country which has what we know as constitutional democracy. And that democracy, again, is led by a majority of what it is said, of what the people want.
Thank you, Honorable Mumalo, and all the honorable members. I will start by prefacing that the fact that the challenges that are within the department, which we all see, the department, including its entities, are as a result of the lack of the policies, especially the act that we have called upon, that we have been given the timelines of it, for it to be taken and maybe it being passed in Parliament, the Public Works Act, which is not there. We have a white paper of that year, a white paper of another year. So I think some of the challenges that are there in that department, we must continue as this committee demanding that that Public Works Act see the day. We have done so with the expropriation bill. The expropriation bill now is in Parliament, but we must also call even upon this one that it must see the date, because I believe that some of the challenges that are there in the department are because of the lack of this act. But nevertheless, honorable members, as I've read what our responsibilities are, mine would be to say, I think with the assistance of our support team, Ms. Martinez, our committee secretary, Mr. Denzin, our content advisor, and Ms. Inez, our researcher, we must write to the minister highlighting the issues that we have said, because this exit plan or the exit strategy that the minister is using that we don't know of was done without involving the trustees. That, according to the correspondence we have seen, were there even at the time that exit plan was done. So even the strategy itself is illegal in terms of the law, if we consider that there were trustees at the time that were not consulted when that exit strategy was done. So we need to write then to the minister and inform him of this, that exit strategy that is forcing her to release or fire 103 workers by Friday is wrong, because trustees were not part of that. That is the first thing. Trying to save the jobs of the 103 workers that are said to be released on Friday. Two, the minister now must start this process afresh in consultation with the trustees. We are going to invite the trustees. I think the members have said so. We are going to invite. We will also demand the minister to give us timelines on how she is going about on the appointment of the four members to ensure that the trustees, they correct, as she has indicated, that the trustees have to be 8 for them to correct. And we need to set out the timelines ourselves as the committee. We are assisting her so that everything in the department is done according. Mine would be, I think let's round this debate on those. And this correspondence, honorable members, once it has been written by our team, and I will then share it with you, so that if there is anything that you want to add before it is sent this evening to the minister, I think we must round on that. We don't want the department to be dragged to court, and we are here as public representative to oversee what is being done by the department. And we have seen that if she continues the way that she's continuing on the issue of IDT, this department will be dragged to court. It would mean that
we have not done our work. She must, if she continues with the department and the executives, then she must continue. But then we would have written to her and advised her and recommended to her. I think we must just round up this debate on that note. That is my take on this, honourable members.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, honourable members. I think now, Ms. Martinisa, if we still have time, can we deal with the minutes of yesterday's meeting? Hoping that you have captured the recommendation. Thank you, honourable members, for all the inputs that you have made on this one.
Chair, sorry, I had a connection problem earlier, so I don't know whether you had handed over to me for the minutes.
Yes, Ms. Martinez.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Honourable members, the minutes that we are about to consider are the minutes of a meeting that was held yesterday, the 27th of October, where we were briefing the committee on the process of the expropriation bill. And I'd like to also bring the attention of the attention of the members the attendance register so that we can check if everything was captured correctly. I think it is. So we outlined the process and members also made inputs on that one. So the questions were responded to. Then the resolution for, then we've also considered minutes of the meeting that was held on the 21st of October, which were also adopted with an amendment. The resolution was that we should complete a draft plan that will clearly set out the timelines along which the committee will process the bill. That should be all on my side, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honourable members, I now invite members to comment on the minutes, correct, and if there are no corrections to be done, then I invite members to move for the adoption of for the minutes as they are the true reflection of what happened. Honorable members?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Jobo.
Yes, I'd like to confirm it's the true reflection of what we said yesterday. Therefore, I move the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Jobo. And any second? I will
second them, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Hicklin seconds the adoption. Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. That is the only set of minutes that we have. Honourable members, a reminder that on the, is it the 4th, Ms. Martinez?
Yes,
I don't know whether. On the 4th, honourable members, we will be doing oversight visit on the two parliamentary villages, the Acacia Park and the Pelican. It's on the 4th. I think on the 3rd, in our portfolio committee meeting, Ms. Martinez will outline how we're going to do that. But I just want to remind you, and for us to do that, honorable members, it means that you have to be physically, you have to physically be here in Cape Town. We are not going to do a virtual oversight. So we then plead with the Honorable Nxumalo, that Honorable Nxumalo, you must be here in Cape Town on the 4th, and all the other honorable members. This is
this visit, we have requested, as you all know, even in 2019, when we saw the state of the houses, we requested that, but it's only now that it is being allowed. So honorable members should be here so that we compile a clear report on the state of these two villages. Thank you. Any other announcement, Ms. Martinez?
I am all covered, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you again, honorable members, for your robust contribution and debates in our committee. It is always a pleasure to chair such committee where honorable members raise their issues in an orderly way. What I like about this committee, we may disagree, but we disagree in a very orderly manner. There is no raising of voices and insults and all those things. We do them in an orderly manner. So I just hope that you continue doing that, playing your role, remembering that the many South Africans have their trust in you to defend what is correct for South Africans, as you do so in many issues. Thank you again. And to all those that were listening, to our portfolio committee, we still celebrate the life of President O.R. Tambo. If we could have got the freedom earlier, he could have been the president of this country. Long live the spirit of O.R. Tambo. Long live. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is
long adjourned. Live.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Salo.
Thank you, Chair.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Chair.